Let's go to the Lord. I got a lot to say and little time to say it in. Genesis 1 and 9 and 10. Amen. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place. And let the dry land appear. When the water gets gathered together in one place, the dry land appeared. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. I want to teach this morning from this thought, until it appears. Until it appears. Lord, open up our understanding, our hearts, our minds, our thoughts. Oh God, just open up. Let us always be open to anything and everything that you have from your word. And God, let us not be willing to hear it and not change, but let us be willing to change till we can conform to your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Welcome to 2016. Some of y'all may remember, I know Brother Buller remembers quite well, when I was here in 2004, rolled around, we had 2005. And I said, if you write 2006 rolled around, and it was 2005. I said, if you write 2005 on anything, you owe us $5. Y'all remember that? Remember that? He said, you owe us $5. Poor Brother Buller just said, here's a 20, here's another 20, here's another. I just keep writing five, you know. So I thought this year it'd be 16. So we better not play that little game. Amen. But it's hard when you've written something, done something for so long to change, right? Same thing in life. I mean, you've done this so long, so certain way. Why do y'all do it that way? That's the way we've always done it. Well, I challenge that. Just because Grandma did it that way and Daddy did it that way and Aunt Susie does it that way and Alice does it, that doesn't mean that's the way we're supposed to do it. Times change, and we need to change not our message but our method as times change. And if we don't, you get left behind. When something appears, it means that it has come to light. Okay, I have this Bible's here. It's here. Now, in the light, you see it. But it was always right here. You just didn't see it. But now it has appeared. And so I want to teach you something perhaps this morning that we've never really realized about faith. It's not a new doctrine. I think it is the doctrine of faith. And many times we've preached faith so strong that you don't have enough faith. That's why you don't have enough faith. Well, Lord, if it's not there, it's not coming. You have all the faith in the world you want. If it's not there, it's not coming. It's got to be there to come, to appear. And so we look at scriptures. We talk about manifest and how that the Lord Christ was made manifest. The reason he was made manifest, he was already there. Christ was hid in God from the foundation of the earth. He was already there. He just was made manifest. He appeared. All right? So when you look at scriptures that say great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifested. To manifest something means it was already there. Are you understanding this already? It was already there. He was manifested in flesh, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and received back up into glory. He went back where he came from. But he will appear again. Oh, my Lord. So I want to help you this morning understand to me what faith is really about. Lest your faith, you just keep believing God for something that is really not there. So we look at a very familiar passage of Scripture, Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance. Did you know faith is a substance? You know what a substance is? It's tangible. You can hold it. You can feel it. You can touch it. It's a substance, but it is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. But it's there. faith did not say, and this just, it says, faith is the evidence of things not seen. It did not say that it is the evidence of things that are not there. See, we have believed for things that are not there. And we spend all of our time, many times, praying and fasting, seeking God, believing for something that's not there. It said is the evidence of things not seen, but it's there. Whew, this ought to open up already to somebody to understand what I'm talking about. It's there, but it just has not appeared yet. So faith is about things that are already there, predestined in the mind of God. It's already there, but you have not seen it yet. And it will be by faith that you see it. When we look at John chapter 3 and verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I mean, they received the Holy Ghost the day of Pentecost. There were churches being built. And he said that we should be called the sons of God. Why? We're born into this thing. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. We're a new creature. They don't understand us because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. Lord, hallelujah. I don't know exactly what I'm going to be, but when he appears, I will be like him. So it doth not yet appear, but by faith. By faith, I will be what he is, but it does not yet appear. I'm believing that. Now, I'm not going to believe, well, I'm going to be of this and I'm going to be of that. I'm going to be like him. I've got enough faith to believe that when he appears, I will be like him. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself as he is pure. So what he's saying is you need to purify yourself so that your hope is made alive, so that what you are believing for actually happens. My. What you believe for is to uncover the obscurity, the doubt, the covering, if you will, that prevents this from appearing. The truth is, this is here. You move this, you see this. It's here. What prevents you is where faith works. Faith works in this dimension, not this dimension. It's already there. This is where faith works. Remove this. And when you remove this, you see this. Number two, verse two. By it, the elders obtained a good report through that kind of faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made from things which do appear. God did not poof things into existence. He took what was already there. He began to frame the world because it was covered with what? Darkness, and water was upon the face of the deep. So that it was obscure. What was obscure? The land was obscure. Because I'm going to jump ahead and tell you everything came out of the dirt. So as long as you got the covering, as long as you've got obscurity, you'll have no life. And sometimes people have no life because they have too many obscurities. And they're wanting to believe God for life, and they're wanting to believe God for abundant life. But you've got to believe that you've got to get rid of the covering, the obscurities. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was void and without form, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and water covered the face of the earth. And God said, let there be light. Because you can't see anything without light. It wasn't the sun and the moon. It was the light of his glory. Let there be light. But David said, the entrance of thy word giveth light. When God said, it was already light. As soon as he says something, it comes to light. And God said, let there be light. And he divided the light from the darkness. David said this, when God's word entered into me, I began to see things different. His word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. His word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When God's word comes in you, obscurity of darkness must leave. My, I've said it many times. You've been from your bedroom to the restroom or the kitchen thousands of times. Thousands of times. It's easy to do in the light. Now, I don't care how many times you've gone, turn all the lights off and get there. And you're going to run into something. You're going to stump your toe on something. You're going to be feeling around like this. But you turn the lights on and things appear. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of these waters. And let it divide the waters from the waters. What is he doing? Creating a space for God to work. Oh, hallelujah. So many times people don't create a space for God to work. You don't give him any time to work. Where's God going to work in your life? You're so busy and so tied down doing things. When does he have space to do his work? And so he separated the waters from the waters above and the waters beneath. He called that the second day. And so now we have light and now we have space. It's time to bring something out that is hidden. And so we go back to our text verse this morning, and God said, now that I've gotten rid of the obscurity, now that I've gotten rid of the darkness, I'm going to take what was already there, and I'm going to bring it to light. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land, he didn't go, and let there be dry land. That's not what happened. That's how we pray sometimes. He said, now, let me get rid of what's covering this up, and the dry land will automatically appear. Faith operated not on the land, but on the water and on the darkness. We pray for the end result, right? That's not how this works. We pray, God, give me a mighty oak, and he gives you an acorn. Faith without what is dead? What did God do? It says God worked how many days? Six. He was working. Faith without works is dead. He just didn't say, I have faith. Boom, let there be there. That's not what happened. And it doesn't work that way in your life either. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw it was good. So my subject to you this morning is until it appears. Keep rebuking the water until it appears. Keep commanding what's obstructing you from receiving your healing, your whatever, salvation, whatever it is, until it appears. Keep purging your life. As the scripture said, purge yourself to be like him until he appears. Keep taking off layers of things that are keeping you from shining forth as you should until people see him in you, the hope of glory. But people have so many layers of things of that's going on in their life, and they're, how's anybody going to see God in that? This is 2016. More to come. More to come. The dry land did not appear until he told the waters to get back. Get back, get back. The land was there all the time. It just wasn't dry. So this is how faith works. You do not need to believe God for land. I'm going to believe God for land. I'm going to believe God for... That's not what you need to believe God for. It's already there. What you believe God for is that he has the power to remove and command the waters, to command the things that stop you from healing, to command the things that keep hindering you. That's where your faith needs to operate. That's where the works are at. Have faith to move the waters. Did he not say, have faith to remove mountains? Have faith to command this mountain. Be thou removed and cast into the sea so I can get what you're covering up. That's how faith works. We're too busy wanting what's underneath the mountain, and we never command the things that are hindering us from receiving what's under the mountain. But until you get rid of the mountain, until you get rid of the water, it's all underwater. It's all obscured. And you don't get to it. You'll never get to it. It's there. Every promise in this book is yours. It's there. It's things that hinder you from receiving them that I want to talk about this morning. We need faith to remove the hindrances, the blockages, the coverings, if you will, the things that dash your hope. So when you look at the mountain, you go, oh, God, I'll never get what's underneath there. I'll never have that. That's what you've got to work on. He said, I don't withhold any good gifts from you. Healing's a gift. And I'm going to talk about healing in a second. But I believe somebody can be healed this morning if you get a grip of what I'm trying to teach you. It's the hindrances. He's already paid the price. So when we look at this chapter of Hebrews, the first one, we don't have time to go over any of them but one. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith, he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Abel's faith was not, Lord, give me a sacrifice. Lord, I want to offer you a sacrifice. Lord, I want a sacrifice. No, he raised one. He raised one. He worked. He worked and raised one. And now I'm going to have faith that what I have raised, God will accept. James and Paul almost got in an argument, if you will, when they were writing, and James said, you say you got faith? I have works. And I'll show you my faith by my works. I'm going to show you that I'm believing in that, or I wouldn't be doing this. So he raised a sacrifice and said, God, is this good enough for you? It's the best I have. It was the firstling of his crop. And so you and I today, we can keep believing for these things, these promises, and all these things, but if you don't work at it, it's not going to happen. Even Abraham's faith was by works. It was by works. He did go up the mountain. He did bring his son. He did have the fire and the wood. He had everything there. He had rope. He bound his son. He had a knife, and he was ready to do it. And then a ram appeared. When he did the works, something else appeared. The ram was there all the time. But it wasn't until he did the works that the ram showed up. Oh, my God, if you would ever do the works that you need to do, even Jesus said, I came to work the works of the one that sent me. Do the works of God and the kingdom of God, then these things will appear on their own. So we need to quit believing God for things that we don't want to work for. Things in life, if you want to be the boss, you want to be this, you have to work for it. The same thing is true in faith. Why is it we think we don't have to do any works and just receive it? It works on the same concept. Work and you receive. Work and you receive. No work, no receive. So in creation, once the dry land appeared, everything changed. I mean, it was a new day. Everything changed. Even with the waters went back, the dry land comes out, and then it become easy. See, the hardest thing you have is getting rid of that nasty doubt, getting rid of that covering that keeps you from receiving the land, the dry land. Because when the dry land appeared, all he had to do was say, now let it come forth. See, but there's no need to say let it come forth when it's underwater. There's no need to say let it come forth when it's blocked by doubt and obscurities and hindrances. No need. It won't work. But once the water went away, the dry land appeared, it become easy then. He said, let it come forth. And the Bible says that the grasses came forth, the fruit trees came forth, and herbs came forth. All the things came forth, including the animals came out of the dust of the earth. It came forth. And guess what else? Man came forth. If the water was over the land, there would have been no dust, no dirt. And man was made out of the dust, the dry land. And man came forth once the waters went away. So until it appears, I am telling you, you can believe God all you want to for underwater plants or whatever, underwater man, but it's not going to happen. You must get rid of that nasty doubt, that nasty unbelief, and those things that hinder you, those people that hinder you from believing that it's already mine. It's already mine. Call those things that are not. It's not that it's not there. I don't have it. As though they were, now I have it. One of the problems that we have, my brothers and sisters, is that we just want to believe and receive. Name it, claim it. Blab it, grab it. No work involved. No work involved. Just receive it. This is not how faith works. Again, even Christ, God, worked 6 days. And then on the seventh day, he propped his legs up on the earth and it became his footstool. But it not until then. And you and I need to realize that if you need healing, and I know there's some people in this audience today that needs healing, it's already yours. It says by his stripes we are healed. Well, if there's any truth to that, they hit him with 39 stripes. If there's any truth to that, then healing is already yours, but it hath not yet appeared. So if you will do your part, he's already done his part. Your part is not just believing. Your part is working until you find what it is that's hindering you from receiving it. Why have I not received this? Let me search my heart, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked thing in me. Let me see, why is it I'm not receiving the promises of God? And I'll tell you why. Hindrances. He said, I won't withhold any good gift from my children. He wants you to have everything that heaven has to offer right here on earth. We can say all we want to. God save me. God save me. God save me. That's not the sinner's prayer, my brother. God save me is not the sinner's prayer. The sinner's prayer is, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. God, I'm sorry. God, I repent. And what that does is takes the covering off. You see? That's what repentance does. You're believing for this, but you won't receive it till you take the covering of sin off. Then when you take that covering off and you repent, it's yours. It appears. Salvation appears unto you. Am I making any sense to y'all this morning? My God. I got something out of it, whether y'all do or not. So one of our problems that we have in this generation today is that people don't call sin, sin anymore. The Bible says there would come a day they call evil good and good evil. Hello. Hello. Oh my God. You're criticized and ostracized for standing up for what's good. And evil is prevailing. But this is the day we live in. They don't call sin anymore. And that we're living in that time where at the end of the judges, they had no king. And the Bible says, and there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Leave me alone between me and God. Well, you don't need a preacher. You don't need a pastor. You don't need anything if it's just between you and God. You don't need a leader. You don't even need the Holy Ghost. It's just you and God. The truth is, we need instruction. We need guidance. We're just lost sheep that needs a shepherd. And there was no king in Israel. And every man did what was right in his eyes. You know how many times I try to separate people and they both think they're right? They both think they're right. And sometimes they're both wrong. But if you get to do what you think is right, Lord help us. You know what that happens? It leads to more sin. You need a king in your life. See, you have to be careful who you fellowship with. Because what happened was Israel had no king. And they began to fellowship with the Moabites and Amorites and all these other ites. And so they sit down. I'm just kind of making this up. They sit down at the table and say, well, the Moabites say, hey, our king today, he made a proclamation that we can going to have a mighty abundance of crop this year. He said, we're going to have this and we're going to have that and we're going to have a good time. We're going to. What does your king say? Our king, well, don't y'all have a king? Oh, yeah, we kind of got a king. Well, where's he at? Does he sit on a throne like my king does? Yeah, I think so. He's up there somewhere. Well, tell me about your king. Well, and they go home, Mama, we want a king. Johnny's talking about a king, and we don't have a king. I've never seen, who is our king anyway? And so they got discontent. Israel got discontent. Because all the rest of their fellowship and buddies had kings. And we ain't got no king. It's not good grammar, but it's true. So we want a king too. And Samuel wept. Oh, it broke his heart. And it broke God's heart. He was so distraught that even God said, I thought I was their king. And Samuel is weeping and wailing, the high priest, because they don't realize that their king is the king of kings and their Lord is the Lord of lords. They don't realize who I am. And it repented God. He was sorry about it. But nevertheless, he told Samuel, he said, get up, quit weeping over them. That bunch of backsliders, he said, I'm going to give them a king. Now watch what happens. He said, I want you to go anoint one Saul. And who was Saul? But one of the most humble people in the kingdom. Out of the smallest tribe, Benjamin. And of the smallest family, of the smallest tribe. You know what he's going to show? How that corrupts men. So go find me the most humble man you can find. And make him king and see what happens to him. So they took the most humble man. Oh, not me. Oh, I just don't know if I can do this, you know. But the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he became a different man. But after a while, it wasn't God. It was him. It was him. And he began to exalt himself and began to lose cities and give in to the enemies and begin his kingdom begin to dwindle because it was him doing it. And he could not be used of God anymore because he wasn't humble anymore. And the kingdom was rent from him and given to his neighbor. That's what power does to men. That's what money can do to men. And God said, see, this is what happens when you get a king. He made taskmasters out of them. He made slaves out of some of them. Their king. And then it's going on telling Johnny, we don't like our king. You ought to see what our king did to my mama. Lord, I thought you wanted a king. Sometimes even raising children, getting married. I thought you wanted to get married. I thought you wanted to have children. And when you get it, it's not what you thought it was. What's with that? Let me tell you something. Sin must appear to be sin. The problem is we don't see it as sin, so we don't repent over what we don't see. But sin must appear to be sin. Watch Romans chapter 7 and verse 13. was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin. It was always sin. See, it was sin the first time you did it. It may not appear to you that it was sin. There's a lot of things that don't appear to you to be sin until you get Christ in your life and go, whoop, I don't need that anymore. That's sin. Sin must also appear to be sin. If it's sin, it's sin. The Bible says at one time he used to wink on ignorance, like, it's okay, you didn't know any better. But now commandeth all men everywhere to come to repentance. Working death in me by that which is good, that sin by commandment might become exceedingly. Oh, all I do is tell little white lies. That's all I do. Just a little. I just cheat a little bit on my taxes. That's all I do. I just, you know, I don't want to get on that. But you have to understand in God's book, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That sin might appear exceedingly sinful. Almost done. We need to pray what David prayed. Search me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked thing inside of me. Show me my sins. Show me my transgressions. In Hebrews chapter 9, 24, Christ was made manifest so that sin could disappear. It was like, he said, to the waters. The waters went away so the dry land could appear. What happened when Christ came, he became sin. Did you understand that? He became sin, but knew no sin. He died on the cross as sin, so that sin could disappear. Watch. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heavens now, heavens itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. The Old Testament and the blood and the bullocks. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. When he appeared, when he was made manifest, he came to take away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Whew, my God. As is appointed unto man once to die, but after that the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's coming back. He will appear. I don't have to have, well, I've got faith. He's coming back. He's coming back whether I got faith or not. He's coming back. So don't waste your faith on that. Waste your faith. If you're going to put faith on something, put it on purging yourself and getting rid of sin, because he's coming back without sin unto salvation. Quit praying about the things that the end result. Pray about what keeps you from getting the end result. I feel like this morning, if you can get a grip on what I'm teaching you, it'll change your life. I believe that it doesn't take weeks or months. I believe somebody today just could recognize what I'm preaching today. You could have your healing today. So, well, I'm just going to walk out of here. I was in a wheelchair. I'm going to walk out of here. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is God will direct you so that you can work at finding out why you're not healed. Why I'm not saved. Why I'm not receiving the promise of God. Why I don't have peace in my life. Why I don't have joy in my life. You can pray, God, give me joy. Give me peace. Don't pray those things. God, why don't I have joy? What is it that keeps me from having? Oh, that's what it is. And you work on purging yourself until it appears. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's already there. By his stripes, you are healed. It may not appear to you yet, but I am here to tell somebody and everybody that if you'll work on what it is that prevents it, it will happen. The water prevented the land from coming forth, and when he got rid of the water, the land came out, and it was easy then. Just come forth, come forth, come forth, come forth. Hallelujah. God bless you. Take a quick break, and we'll come back in at 10:30 for morning worship.